If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 is a very short passage, one that many of us have heard and many of us have used. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 simply says, pray without ceasing. It's a short passage, but it's not really short of meaning. And we need to think about, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Paul isn't here talking about a 24-hour-a-day, non-stop prayer session that goes for the rest of our lives. There are other things we have to accomplish in life. We have to work, we have to sleep, we have to eat. There are other things that would say that we cannot, 24 hours, all the time, pray. So Paul is talking about some other type of idea when he says pray without ceasing. What he's talking about is prayer where we don't give up. When we pray about something and we don't relent in what we want to ask God about. There's a passage in 1 Samuel, and this is the text that we'll be using for the most part as we go through this lesson. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is a discussion about a prayer that was made by a woman named Hannah. And I think it illustrates very well the idea, the concept of praying without ceasing. Starting in verse 9, 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting with verse 9, it says, then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant, and remember me, and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. For Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have not had drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way, ate, and her face was no longer sad. One of the things that we learn as we read through and understand this passage a bit deeper, when Hannah was praying, she was praying out of the anguish of her heart. That's what's mentioned in verse 10. She was greatly distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. See, Hannah had a husband who had taken on a second wife. She was able to have children, but Hannah could not. And the second wife continually rubbed that matter into Hannah's face. In verse 6 it says, but Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. Now, while the incident here is recorded what happened one particular year, what we read in the actual passage is that Hannah has been doing this year after year after year. This is something she did on a regular basis. She came before God with a plea that she wanted a child. God is someone we can go to when we have troubles. It's a person we're supposed to go to when we have times of trials. In Psalm 46, and starting with verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Their whole earth can crumble around us. And sometimes in our distress, it feels that way. But God is the one we can go to at the time of our trouble and ask for help. And He will answer. In Psalm 91, starting with verse 14, Psalm 91, verse 14, it says, "Because He loved me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him securely on high, because He has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With a long life I will satisfy Him, and let Him behold my salvation." It isn't that we only run to God when we have trouble. But the point is, it ought to be a comfort to us to know that God is there, willing and able to listen to us when we do have trouble and when we do need Him. Over in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and starting with verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you." We can bring all our troubles to God. And think about it when you pray. Do you just pray a few times, and then if the answer doesn't come, you just shrug your shoulder and go, "Oh, well." See, what we have illustrated for us with Hannah is she had a concern, and the concern was still there, and she continued to pray. Year after year, asking God for relief. So many times we just give up, go about our business. And the question we ought to ask is, how badly do we want an answer from God? When we're going to God in prayer, are we just saying some things? Or are we really looking for help? Hannah actually illustrates how badly she wanted an answer. In 1 Samuel again, look again at verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. It says that she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if Thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of Thy maidservant and remember me, and not forget Thy maidservant, but will give Thy maidservant a son, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come to his head." Now don't look at this as a vain attempt to bribe God. See, what Hannah wanted to do was to demonstrate the length she would go to say thank you to God, be granted her prayer. What she vowed was within her ability to keep. She was not making some grand vow that she could never keep or didn't have a possibility of keeping. This was something within her control. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is a warning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting with verse 1, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, it says, "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for He takes no delight in fools. Pay what you have vowed, for it is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay." What Hannah offered was something that she had considered. It wasn't a rash vow. She had been making this prayer and praying to God for years. She considered what she was asking or saying she would do. She was offering to give her son to the Lord, if the Lord granted her a son. She was going to dedicate him to the Nazarite vow. It was, again, within her attempt. Notice what she, when asking for aid from God, Hannah stated what she would do in her realm, what she could. She wasn't asking God to do everything while she sat back and enjoyed the benefits. She knew she had something she could give back to God. Now think about that when you pray. When you pray for something, how far are you willing to go if He answers you? What will you do that's truly within your ability to give back to God to say thank you? In other words, when you pray for strength and growth in the church, are you willing to work for it? Or are you just going to pray and hope that it comes? See, in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we grow, are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even the Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, by which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. I've heard people pray, asking for God for growth. Where does growth come from? Each part doing its part. How badly do you want it? How much effort are you going to show? And Paul talked about in Corinthians that, you know, that he watered, or he planted, Apollos watered, and God granted the increase. The increase is always going to be from God. We can't cause, in a real sense, the growth. But it doesn't mean we have nothing to do. We got to put the effort in. When you pray for strength to resist temptation, do you ignore it, or you just and hope God's going to keep those temptations away from you? Or do you put effort in so there's no provision for it? Do you minimize your exposure? In Romans chapter 13 and in verse 14, Romans 13 at the very end of the chapter, verse 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to His lusts. I don't like temptation than anybody else does. So what do? I do the best I can and ask God for the rest of the help. When you pray for opportunities to teach, do you go seeking those opportunities? We can't make them happen, but we can go find them. How much effort do we put in? In Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, starting with verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in which an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been in prison, in order that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. Paul wanted prayers for opportunities. Well, guess what? Paul never sat back and waited for those opportunities to knock on his door. God answered those prayers. But Paul showed how badly he wanted because he went seeking them. What do we do when we pray? How badly do we want an answer? How much are we willing to say thank you? Hannah showed that. I can't imagine a mother saying, I'm going to give up my child Especially a child that she's been begging for years. But that's how badly she wanted it. And she was willing and able to do that. Now in verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, we find out that even though she made these prayers, it says she continued praying before the Lord. Does a repeating of a prayer show a lack of faith or dedication to a cause? Which way is it? Jesus, when he was in the garden, prayed three times the same prayer. In Matthew 26, starting with verse 39, Matthew 26, starting with verse 39, and he said, went a little farther beyond them and fell on his face and saying, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. Then in verse 42, and he went away a second time and prayed, saying, My Father, if this can pass away, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done. Then in verse 44, and he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Sometimes we just ask for something and then we forget it. Hannah prayed not just every year, but in her prayers, she repeated her prayers. She repeated her petitions. Paul said when he had a problem in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Paul asked repeatedly. See, God desires a persistency in prayer. Because our persistence also shows how badly we want it. There's a parable that's told in Luke chapter 18 that illustrates that point. Luke 18, starting with verse 1, it says, Now as he was telling them a parable, to show them that all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying there was a certain judge who did not fear God, and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, Give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling. But afterward he said to himself, Even though I do not fear God or respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not your God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? If an unrighteous judge can be moved to do what was right simply because somebody wore him down, what do you expect from a God who wants your best interest? We ought to be dedicated to our prayers, to the things that we really want. Not casually just saying things, but willing to continue it, because that's how badly we would like an answer from God. So when you pray, how badly do you want an answer? What are you willing to do to show for it? What steps will you take? How long will you persist in asking? Another thing we find from Hannah's prayer in chapter 1, and this time in verse 13, says, for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving. Hannah's prayer was sincere. See, even though there were repeats in it, she wasn't doing this to show off to people. She wasn't trying to impress people with how long her prayers were or anything like that. Hannah's prayers were her deepest desires. And she kept them between her and God. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and starting with verse 5, when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Here's another measure then. Are we just doing it for show? Are we just saying things because other people are listening to us? Or is this what we really want in the deepest part of our hearts? When no one else is hearing you other than God, no one knows what you're asking for, is this what you desire? Hannah's prayer was a sincere prayer, much like Paul's personal prayer. Take a look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Paul's deepest desire was to see Israel saved, to see his people saved. And like Hannah's prayer, it came from his grief over the Israelites. Take a look at Romans chapter 9, starting with verse 1. I'm telling you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bearing witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed and separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul said he wants it so badly that if it was even possible for him to lose his salvation so that others might be saved, he would be willing to do that. Are you praying what you really want to happen? Or are you praying what you think other people want you to say? Over in Psalm number 20. It says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen up and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. When we look at Hannah's prayer, another thing we see is that she is absolutely confident. Back in chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, she is confident that God was going to answer her petitions. See, Eli, when she addressed her, was not speaking from inspiration. He didn't know that God would answer her prayer. He didn't even know what she was praying about. He just offered his hope that God would answer her prayers. And his assurance bolstered her. Someone else believed God was listening and would answer. That's what she needed. But more importantly, Hannah leapt and began acting as if her prayer had already been answered. She went off and she ate. She went off with a smile on her face. Here's a prayer of faith without any doubts that it was going to be answered. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1, starting with verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that what he will receive anything from the Lord. How do we pray? Hannah did not know what the answer was that God would give. She walked away confident that God cared. God knows our needs better than we do ourselves. God knows what we absolutely need. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 8, it says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. God understands us. Ultimately, we know that it's God's purpose and his will that will be done. And that it is his will that good results will come to his people. That passage we read this morning in Romans chapter 5, or 8, sorry. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, for we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It might not happen the way I think it ought to happen. It probably won't happen the way I expect it to happen. But as we mentioned this morning, the answer will be beyond my wildest dream. It'll be better than I even dared hope it would be. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Again, we need to think, when we pray, are you confident that there's going to be an answer? No matter how it's answered. Are you confident it's going to be an answer that's going to be better than you have ever planned it out to be? Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 8. Therefore I want men to in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and dissension. God wants us to pray. Everyone, everywhere. And in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 And in verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? When we pray, we should have so much faith that we walk away with the attitude that it was already granted. Even before we get the answer. That's why Hannah walked away with a smile on her face and returned to eating. She hadn't got the answer yet, but she was confident God would answer. And what we find out is that Hannah got her heart's desire. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20, it came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. That's what Samuel means, asked of God. Now she said, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate him to you. But you know, Hannah got much more than she asked for. Hannah was looking for a son. And she was willing for that son to serve God. Her son became a priest before God, a judge over Israel, a mighty prophet, and one who established the kingdom and the kingship in Israel. He's probably one of the most famous, or one of the more famous prophets in the Old Testament. Hannah was looking for a boy. God took her prayer and made it something better, something greater. Hannah's story is recorded for us for a reason. In Romans chapter 15, Romans 15 and in verse 4 says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. When we look at the prayer that Hannah offered, we learn about our own prayers. The type of dedication God wants from us. As I was studying through this, I thought about my prayers. Thinking about how much did I really want those prayers answered. What was I willing to do? Where was I willing to go if they were answered? Not just sitting back and say, hey, give it to me. But willing to move on with it. Hopefully think about those with your own prayers. And pray in a faith like Hannah did. If there's anyone here tonight who's not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. Become a child of His and go before the throne of God. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, like the prayers of the brethren on the rehab, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.